Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from now rainy Virginia. At least we don't have snow yet, although I hear we have another monster storm coming in. This is Cassandra Dane with The Edge, and today we have a wonderful guest with us. We were going to have a couple. We were going to have Leanne Sontimer Murphy with us, but she's been has that plague that just about everybody else has. So we'll have her on another time. But I'm lucky enough to have a wonderful lady. I don't know her very well, I have to admit, but we're going to fix all that today. And I hope I don't say your name wrong, lovely one, but it's Ezrabet Bishop. And she has a lot
Ezrabet.
Of... Ezrabet. See, I knew I was going to get it wrong. You've got a lot of very creative titles. You sent me some fascinating covers, very similar to ones that I like, write, and all of those yummy things. Some of the titles include Tethered, Yuletide Temptation, The Big Book of Submission, love that one, and Sweat. So welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And you're calling in from another time zone, I know. Where are you?
Yes. I am in Houston, Texas.
And I dare say it's probably better weather than we're having.
I think for a little while longer. We're expecting some rain today, though.
Well, that's better than the crazy wacko winter that we've had over here. It just won't stop snowing.
I heard that you guys are getting another storm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, if we get any more snow, I swear to God. we had 70 yesterday. It's 47 today, and then it's going to be 20-whatever tonight. So you never know.
Oh, Lord.
So
yeah,
tell
it
me
was 80 here.
80? Okay, I don't want to hear it.
It was
that's
80
it.
Yesterday,
stop.
Now it's 50. It's crazy.
Well, I have never been to Texas, I must admit, but I hear it's a fascinating place to be. So you'll have to fill us in with if Texas influences any of your books at all. So tell me a little bit about your writing and how you got started and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I write under two names. Ezrabet is my erotica side. And I've been writing off and on for, over 10 years. But the erotica really got started a little over a year ago after I read, and don't make fun, 50 Shades.
It's okay.
I was reading it and going, oh, wow, I could do this probably. Yeah, I could write this. I could.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, hopefully a little bit better. So I started trying my hand at it, and I published my first story through Storm Moon Press, and it was a Christmas story. And I was like, wow, this could actually work. So then I went on to write some other ones, a zombie story for a charity anthology. They're coming together, and it just kind of started rolling from there.
Well, on the other person that you write under, I mean, do you care to divulge that name as well so we can tout both of you?
Okay, sure. my real name is Dana Wright, and I write horror and young adult, and I just got signed yesterday with The Sniffers. It's a children's series that helps disabled kids,
fantastic.
And they're going to start a Choose Your Own Adventure series, so I'm really excited about that.
That's fantastic. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I also signed yesterday with a sister organization of theirs that is on the erotica side. There is a series called Muriel Cove,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a lesbian dating place.
Oh.
And they have a sister series called Club Rook that is starting to unfold. And I will be two characters in that.
Oh, that's great. What an interesting thing to do. I like that.
Yes, I'm very excited about both of the projects and kind of raring to go.
How did you get involved with the last one? I mean, that's a very unique in comparison to... you know, some of just the basic writing a book and submitting it, that kind of thing.
The Muriel Cove?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of funny. I was just surfing along the Internet, just popping along, and I happened to come across their site. I don't even remember I think it was through Facebook. And I'm like, wow, this is fascinating. And I keep seeing Muriel Cove, Muriel Cove. And then I saw they were hiring writers for season 3. I'm like, oh, wow, how cool is that? I want something new and challenging. Working with a group of people to craft a story would be amazing. So I wrote to Jennifer DeMarco, and she's like, yeah, let's talk. So we started looking at, you know, her plans for the series. She's still looking to hire some writers for Muriel Cove, the mainline story for season 3. But then she had all these other ones. And what was fascinating is I love paranormal. You'll find it in most of my work. And she does a lot of paranormal, pagan influences, really interesting storylines, kind of like X-Men meets, you know, paranormalish stuff. It's like really cool. Yeah. And then Club Rook is a nightclub setting. And you've got different types of characters that are involved in like dance music, but there's a sexual side to it. And you've got metaphysical things happening, which I was like, oh, I'm all in that. I want to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's neat. When does that, when do you begin that project, or are you embroiled in it now?
Right now, I literally just had the contract last night at 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That must have been one of those things to wake up to. Very nice.
Yes, it was really cool. I actually work at a bookstore. I'm one of the managers, and when I got home from my shift, I like, I'm printing it, I'm signing it, I'm sending it.
It's amazing how those things still excite us. It doesn't matter what it is, when it is, or how many it is. We love that.
Yes, I live for it. It's like, awesome. So I've got a lot of different things spinning around, but that's awesome because I love being challenged and busy all the time.
So you are working in a bookstore, which obviously means you're not writing full time, but that must be a wonderful, I don't know, counterpart to actually be involved in a bookstore situation and kind of get that feel and taste and a little bit more in your blood.
Yes, I've been in books for a very long time, ever since high school, and I briefly managed the cafe portion of it, but my true love is the books. But it was a great experience. But now I'm back in bookland and happy as can be. 17 years with the current company.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it's a great thing.
Well, since you've been writing for so long, how many books do you think that you have out, have written?
Oh, wow. Most of my accomplishments lately, until I get my craft, you know, better, have been short fiction. Oh gosh, I can't even think how many. I've actually lost count. But that's good, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that in the world.
Yes. When I started doing this originally, I was doing the young adult novels, and I kind of got lost in the middle, and I kind of put it to the side. Like, I'm missing something here. I need to stop. And so I did, and then I picked up again writing with the whole 50 Shades episode. And I've kind of been following the Ray Bradbury thing where he talked about if you write a short story a week, pretty soon you're not going to suck. He didn't say it quite like that, but no. But that was his general premise. And I think from then to now, I've grown as a writer, and I want to keep growing and pushing myself to do better and to be able to express characters, deep emotions, active setting, just getting the whole thing so it just pops off the page and you feel like you want to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And with this whole Muriel Cove thing, I find myself wishing that I lived there, and it was awesome. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be a part of that.
Now, tell me about the Muriel Cove. Because it's going to be series piece, are you going to be required to write X portion in X period of time?
Yes.
Or do you not know yet? Okay.
Yes. It will be, like, every week, you'll be, like, the writer would be responsible for writing a certain amount of word count and turning it in a deadline. And I have no problem with that. I'm able to balance work life, write life. You know, my husband's really excellent. He lets me do what I need to do. And I'm grateful.
You know, and this is just my personal opinion because, and I'm not here to tout any of my books, but I tend to be a lot like you where I sit down and I say, this is what I'm going to do and this is when I'm going to finish, and it is going to happen. I don't care.
Yes.
So that's how I can put so many out at a time, and people are kind of floored by that, but I see it differently. I see it as a discipline, and I treat it as a business versus I'm just thinking about writing the next great American novel. What's your thinking pattern?
I kind of agree with you there because work, you have to, you know, you have to support your family. You have to do what you need to do, right? So your time is very precious when you when you're not there. And you still have home life. You still have your family. So you have to make time. You have to carve it out, and you have to do everything possible to make that writing time productive. So when I'm at work, I'm thinking plot lines. You know, things will happen during the day that will go, oh, that will be perfect. That would be perfect for a storyline. And I'll write notes to myself or put it on the phone under the recorder. So when I sit down to actually work, I have my yellow pad where I've made a general outline of what I want to accomplish, and then I go at it. And
that's great.
Since I'm juggling like so many things under both things, I have to really structure it. So like when I'm folding underwear or matching socks, I'm like, da-da-da-da-da. You know, you have to make every single moment productive or it will not get done. It just won't.
I completely agree with you, and it's odd how we as authors have to juggle everything from the marketing end, whether it's blogs, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, to then coming up with stories, then editing. It's not just that writing, that next great American novel, turn it over, done, yay. Nothing like that longer, and folks don't get it.
it's hard work. I'm in the middle right now of edits for my first novella, yay. It's coming out in June. It's called Sigil Fire, and it's through Yelva. And it's kind of exciting. It's about a succubus and a vampire. And it's a lesbian fiction and with a lot of paranormal stuff going on. And it's going to be the first of a series. And we're doing edits right now. But the folks at Yelva are wonderful. And I'm so happy that I got involved with them because they've taught me so much. Astrid, she's the main person there. She is able to see, like, the story started off as a short story for an anthology. And she's like, no, I see a lot more from the story. I want you to build it. So a 9,000-word story ended up as a 30,000-word, almost 31, novella. And every step of the way, they're, like, helping you and grooming you and pushing you, mostly pushing and kicking, and, you know, refining it. And I've learned so much going through that process. But you're right, it's hard and it's challenging, and you're just like, oh, wow. But
you are, and yeah.
Yes, you grow so much. And every step of the way, every editor, every process, it's you learn something and you move forward as a writer, and it's wonderful.
Well, I want to ask you, I'm going to kind of, quote, break for station identification so that we know what we're doing today, but I do want to ask you after this about this publisher, because it's actually one I've not heard of and want to just get your experiences on this. If you're just listening, joining us today, we're on the air. This is The Edge with Cassandra Dane, and I've got Erzabet Bishop on today. We're talking about all things Wild and Wicked in her several different pseudonyms. And if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear you. It's the World of Ink Network, and the call-in number, folks, is 714-242-5259. Be happy to answer any questions you might have. And remember, too, this is an archived program, so if you only catch a little bit of it, don't worry, you can come back and download it to your little heart's desire. So back to the publishers. Tell me about this one, and then give me a little idea of the experiences you've had with, because I know you've at least worked with a couple other publishers.
Oh, yes. I have several. The publisher we were talking about is Ylva, Y-L-V-A, and they are based out of Germany. And I came across them looking for Halloween anthologies. And I sent in two different stories, and one of them went through into the anthology. The other, Astrid, the main person there, she liked the story so well she wanted to do it as a single title. And she wanted me to at least double it. Well, it grew from that, from 9,000 to 31,000 words, and now it's going to be a series. What I really, truly appreciate about this publisher is they take the time to work with you as an author, and they groom the story and make it the best that it can be. They don't just slap a sticker on it and say, go. They work with you, and they show you why this isn't the way it should be, or you could turn this phrase just a little bit differently, but you're still keeping your voice as a writer. And I've worked with some publishers and editors that don't do that, so I really appreciate this one for doing that.
Do you think it's a European-based situation, meaning in the States there's just so much competition that perhaps they're able to take a little bit more time?
Maybe so. In general, though, I found, and this is interesting, in the lesbian fiction community, they seem to want to take the time to get to know you as a writer and work with you and help you succeed, whereas in the regular mainline, it's a lot harder. And I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, though. The one thing, and I've dabbled in, I've done several, actually, same-sex or female-female lesbian, as well as I do the gay side, but have you found any more difficulties in the selling versus some of your other pieces?
Yes, that is an important factor. I think it's interesting that the male-male romances have taken off so well with the female crowd, whereas the female-female, they're still a little squidgy about it. Mm-hmm. Myself, I tend to read more female-female, and I don't read the other. But those are totally personal preferences. I'm not sure why. And in another interview that I did, I pretty much kind of said, you know, it's a murder mystery. You're not going to go out and kill someone. Just because you read it doesn't mean you're going to be it.
Right.
You can read anything that you want and not, you know, I think there's a little bit of fear factor there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be. There's some wonderful, wonderful writers that express emotion, character, just everything, and beautiful stories. And really, that shouldn't even play into it, you know, the fear factor. It's just silly.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, why, as you said, why are the male-to-male so hot right now? Have no idea,
mm-hmm.
but those fly off the charts where, you know, my female-female, albeit they're critically acclaimed very nicely, do not have sales at all. You just can't push them. And it's
right.
I personally have had wonderful experiences in writing them. I love it. But, you know,
yes.
You kind of tend to go when you're looking at it as a business, what do I pick to write today?
Right. I see your point. I don't know. It's just where I'm drawn to. I'm not sure why. But I love writing those kinds of stories. And
well,
reading
Sweat
them, just,
is an anthology that's female-female.
When the Clock Strikes 13, that's the one, the Halloween anthology from Ylva.
Okay.
There's also Spread of the Love, also from Ylva. And I have several female-female stories that have been taken up by Cleese that are coming out this spring and summer. Big Book of Submission. The Big Book of Submission is one. Hungry for More. Oh, goodness. There's several.
In doing the anthologies, what do you like best, single title for yourself personally as a writer, or do you love the work of the anthology with other authors?
I like both for different reasons. sometimes, like, working on these large things, it can be exhausting, especially going through the endless editing process, and it's kind of like sculpting something. Sometimes you just need a break and a fresh little clip of something to refocus your mind,
mm-hmm.
and the little stories do that for me. I just finished one for Gratis 2, and that was fun. Mine was a female-female story. It's the first one in the anthology. And it is free right now on Amazon and ARE and Apple and pretty much everywhere, even Barnes & Noble. Yes.
That's great.
Yes, and it's actually doing very, very well. I think it's top of the lesbian charts right now. So that made me very happy to hear. Yeah. I'm like, yes, good. Because, you know, goodness.
Always makes you feel good when that happens. It doesn't matter. It's another one of those doesn't matter moments. You see that, and it might stay there for a blip of a moment of time, but you don't care. Yeah. It's there.
That's right. And just to be clear, the whole thing is not lesbian. It is a mix. It's several different authors, you know, doing several different types of things. So there's something for everyone in that one. It's wonderful. And I was very, very glad to be asked to participate in that one. I actually started on a completely different story, and I had to scrap it and go with this one, and I really liked this one and the way it turned out. So.
When you read Fifty Shades of Grey and decided that you were going to move into writing some more erotic, what struck that about you other than the fact that you thought that you could do this and potentially do it better? What struck you about that book and made you really want to reach out there and try the genre?
Oh, that's a good question. A few years before, I read a couple of books, Panic Snap, and there was another one by last name of Reese, I want to say, and she explored the whole area of BDSM, and I loved the electricity that buzzed around that whole idea and lifestyle, and I felt it again when I read 50 Shades. Albeit some of the things weren't exactly how they are, but I felt it again. And I wanted to explore that. But again, I hadn't written in so long, and I'd never written that type of material before. So I kind of dove in with the research, connecting with people, talking with people, you know, learning more and more and more. Anything I could suck in to my brain, I did. And I wanted to connect with that sort of feeling. That's what kind of drove me. Yeah. And the Christmas story that I wrote, it has some elements of it in there. Definitely an early stage writing project there. But it does have some BDSM elements in it.
In doing your research, what did you find that was either a misnomer or was confirmed or something even maybe slightly personally? Personally can mean as far as your writing, the joy of it and learning more to write more, or even personally as a woman. What did you find when you entered the BDSM community?
I found that a lot of people misunderstand what it is. That if you are in the mainline community, there are a lot of protective steps that really I didn't feel that were mentioned in the book. There was the whole contract thing, which was, but there was a whole other level of watchdog effects, let's just put it that way. People look out for each other, and if someone steps out of line in that community, everyone knows it. And that really wasn't brought into light in 50 Shades at all. You kind of guy with anger issues and a belt, and he kind of got out of hand a few times and freaked her out. The sensual elements were nice, but you don't hit in anger.
Right.
You have to. Your actions are controlled, and there is trust, and there is a power structure, and you know what to expect. And I wanted to show that more in my writing. It's not a fly-off-the-handle thing. And as a woman, I like to look at, like, when you're writing a story for male-female, how, you know, which angle are you going for? Are you going to have the woman as a submissive or as the dominant? I really like the exploration of that part of it. And I really like femdom stories. And looking at the man as a submissive, is he weak? Or is he a man that is strong enough to be submissive to a woman? And that I love stories like that. And looking at the lesbian aspect of it, that is just a cool dynamic all on its own. You know, the whole domination and submission and the flux of power between two women. It's just magic.
I agree with you. Totally
yes.
Agree. Having researched myself, because I've done all of the above, more of the female submissive than the male submissive, but the world mm-hmm. is absolutely fascinating. The people in the lifestyle, that the ones that are genuine and they're fakers like there are in the vanilla world, they are
yes.
absolutely incredible people who are very giving, very showing and telling of their lifestyle to people who will embrace it and treat it with the respect it deserves.
Yes, and it's beautiful. It is. They're, and people misunderstand that. They have this idea that, oh, if you're into this, you must be a total freak.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. So, I'm
curious. Do you take this further into your blog situation? I admit it to you. I have not read one of your blogs. Do you actually go on your blog and even speak to the concept of the lifestyle in more of your own words versus a storyline word?
No, pretty much on my blogs, I leave it in the fictional realm, and I mostly just talk books. At this time, since I'm juggling so many things, I don't get as much time to really write in depth on the blogs. I wish I had more time, but I don't.
Oh, I understand. Believe me. I totally do. I work full-time and drive quite a way, so getting in that precious time to try to do all of it is really, really hard, and you have to pick and choose your time wisely, and it's tough.
Yes. Yeah, it really does, and I try to keep the blogs active because I have 3 under Urbanet and many more under my other name, and you have to keep it constant, but it's really a struggle. So I use a lot of tour companies, you know, that send me posts and things, you know, for tours to try to keep some new content going.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I have personal news, I fill that in. But I just can't let myself get sucked into the time vortex of social media too long, or the writing time that I have is going to be gone. And it's,
true.
For me, very, very tempting, because I love Facebook. Love it. Mm.
You can get sucked in. I mean, there is no doubt. And you, if you add any of the other social media sites, from Google+ to FetLife to even, you know, Twitter,
yeah.
somewhat more automated, but you still pop in there occasionally, whether you have TweetDeck or not, you know, there's just
yeah.
all kinds of things.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What
it really
do you like
is.
Better? Do you like writing the erotic any better than you do the YA or some of the other, or is it just a wonderful mix that allows your mind to free itself and move to some other project?
I like all of it. I really do. It I think as a person, people are multifaceted, and there's just different parts of you, and you have to be able to express those parts. And if you try to cram, you know, yourself into a box and say, oh, no, only good women write this, you know, I had this debate with someone. I'm in the Horror Writers Association, and we were talking about, you know, oh, you write horror? What's wrong with you? And I said,
no,
well,
please.
I get the same thing when I write erotica. What's wrong with you, really? Why don't you write something I can actually read? Really? Oh.
By mixing the two together, horror erotica, that really
yeah.
freaks people out.
No kidding, I do that too.
I do that too. And you try to
yeah.
explain it, and they're like,
what? You kill cats in your spare time? What?
Yeah.
No. I look just like you do. I am an average human being. You know, I wear pastels sometimes. It's okay. I do not have purple spike hair or,
ooh,
you know,
you
carry a flogger every other day.
I won't tell anybody you wear pastels. Your secret is safe with me.
Okay. But it's just, it's funny how people make assumptions. No, I write all ends of the spectrum. And when you tell someone that, yes, I write lesbian fiction, and they look at you in horror, like, no, it's great. And I'm like, oh, no, I love what I write. I love all of the things that I write, whether it's young adult, horror, you know, everything. It all has a place in who I am as a person. And if you like it, read it. If you don't, there's something else to read, I'm sure.
Well, that brings up, you're one of the few authors that, and there are several, of course, out there that have a couple of pseudonyms or they write in a couple of different styles, but you're one of the few that write in as many genres as I do. Do you find any of your fans are either conflicted because you're not, in a sense, typecast into at least one, two, or three?
Yes, and I try very hard to keep the names separate. Like I hadn't even planned on talking about it when I came on today, in fact. But I think it's good to tell folks. I have two separate Facebook accounts. Very rarely do they ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
The personas are completely separate because it's young adult and children's literature.
Right.
I don't want it to cross with erotica. It just doesn't have a place.
Right.
The erotica and the horror, that I don't mind so much, but when I tilt toward the erotic side of the horror, I try to keep it on the Erzabet side. Maybe as I get into releasing more teen materials, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted about maybe having another pseudonym for lesbian teen stories, because I don't want to use the same name as the erotic stuff, because I think that's a whole other type of thing, and your name is a marketing tool, sort of. You know, it's a brand.
Absolutely.
So you have a certain type of thing under a name. So I had even thought about it, you know, with my regular like children's things. I recently wrote one for a small piece for a SIDS anthology for a charity, and I used my regular name, even though I use it in horror, and I'm like, oh, gosh, should I do another name? I don't know. You know?
It's a tough call. It's, you know,
it really
because
is.
Every time you split yourself more, it's splitting your time, and no matter what anyone thinks,
it isn't. Yes.
You can't just put a rubber stamp on it and go from one to the other to the other. It's completely different.
It really is, and my husband just got me a new computer, and I literally have to switch Gmail accounts and all of that. You know, it's like a separate computer. It just flips back and forth.
Yep.
One set, the other set. And it's like, okay, who am I in this five-minute span of time?
Mm-hmm.
It can make you dizzy. But
it can.
What name am I signing at the bottom of this email? Oh, okay, there we go. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. And if any of them cross, sometimes, like, and I do have a couple different Facebook accounts and also Facebook pages, and when you,
mm-hmm.
no Facebook police, don't hear us talking about this. You kick us off, we're going to come after you. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
no kidding.
Yeah. So,
well, each
but,
part of me is real, you know. It's just.
It is, but they don't see it at that, unfortunately. And I have had several author friends who have had their real page and an author page, and they make you pick which one is real. And they're like, hello, people are using this as marketing. Give me a break. So.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems yet, and I'm grateful, but I'm really careful about, like, I don't post, you know, freaky pictures or anything like that. I try really hard to stay under the radar and, yeah,
mm-hmm.
not put out too many friend requests or, you know, all the stuff that gets you on the naughty list really fast. Kind of learned that the hard way with the first one. It's like, oops, okay. You're on a month probation.
Yeah. Kind of crazy the way they do it, but, you know, you play by the rules and hopefully you get along fine and things move on. I mean, it's a game just like anything else, and there are people out there that will be vengeful in a sense, that are a little bit jealous of certain authors, and I've seen that happen too, which is really unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that in one case that I can't even remember who it was, but they just, it was ugly. Yeah.
In your publishing / writing experience, dealing with the whole industry as an entirety, so to speak, what's been the most positive experience, and then again, what's been the most negative?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's been so many positive experiences. Working with Rachel Kramer Bussell has been one of my favorites. She does a lot of the Cleese anthologies. She's awesome. Working with Astrid at Yolva, again, awesome. If they take the time, it's worth it. If you want to grow as a writer, it's a great place to be. I think one of the most negative, I think when you get an editor that tries to change your work significantly, that can hurt you as a writer. I have not enjoyed that. I've only had that happen to me once, and I didn't care for it. The other one, I did some erotic horror for a publisher that I'm not going to name. And I had the first one come out, and it's not a problem. And then the second one, the cover art came across, and he had sent it to me so I could look at it. And I questioned how it looked. The drawing was not very good, and I wanted the girl to look, like a crack whore. Can you fix her hair? She's supposed to be sexy. You know, this is bothering me. I was very professional about it, and I haven't heard from him since. The book never went to publication. Nothing. Cannot get any communication from this individual at all. So my work is basically tied up for however long it's going to be tied up, and I have no idea where I stand. And I think, that's just very frustrating. Like, if you're mad at me, great. I'm sorry. You know, I dared to ask a question. Oh, my God. That was a little frustrating.
That's really unfortunate because, and other folks that are maybe just getting ready to submit something have never been in the publishing world before. I mean, that there are horror stories out there, but fortunately, having worked with several publishers, I can say there are many more wonderful stories. You do got to watch what you're doing, though, and double-check the contracts you're signing, the people you're working with, and the reputations behind them. You can really get burned.
Yes, and I'm lucky that this was only a small project, and honestly, from some of the things I've heard about, you know, it's nothing comparatively, but, you know. It is something. I do want to also bring up another positive thing. I was kind of popping along on Twitter a few months back, and I came across a job opening at this company called Silkwords. And I was like, ooh, what's this? It's a choose-your-own-adventure romance website. So I thought, well, why not? So I turned in the story idea to them, and they took me on. And my first story with them is going live on the 28th of this month. It's called Fetish Fair. And they have been awesome. I'm working through the edits, the final stages right now. And it's going to be live, and I'm so excited.
Well, that's incredible. I saw that on your bio, and I was going to ask you about that. I mean, is this actually something that, in a sense, they're paying you for, or is it for promotional mostly?
No, this is actually one of the largest contracts I've ever had.
Wow.
And I'm very excited. And as a writer that hasn't been doing this that long, if you think about it, a little over a year, I was like, I hope I can do this. And I did, and it was great because once I figured out the structure for how to branch off to choose your own adventure, oh, my gosh, How much fun was that? You know, how to pick your story as a reader, especially this type of story, and do what you want to do. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
The basic plot is a young woman, she's going with her friend for coffee, and her friend sort of tricks her into following her to this convention, except it's not your average convention. It's a fetish fair, fetish convention. And she's unprepared. She's a writer person. She's not dressed for anything like that. She's like, oh, God. And she gets there, and her friend, like, ditches her. So she's alone in the middle of this giant expo hall with all these leather-clad people running about. So she has to decide what she's going to do. And she ends up in some really interesting adventures. And The reason I liked it was, like, an average person, such as myself, what would I do, dropped in the middle, being unprepared, in a setting like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, this is going to be fun.
I
had a lot of fun.
So what's the structure of this? It comes out periodically?
Well, what they did, I designed the story to be around 25,000 words. They actually wanted a little bit less from me than that. I just kept going and was having such a great time, I couldn't stop. And you basically start off with the main hub of the story, and you have two choices. And from then you branch off and you have two choices. And it keeps branching off. And I had about 8 different endings to this story when I was done. And what they decided to do was to split my story in half, so that, since it ended up being a little bit larger than they had originally thought it would be. So I actually get 2 opening dates. Yay. And the first one will come out on the 28th, and I'm not sure what the second part, you know, the date will be. But I'm kind of excited.
You should be. That's incredible. I mean, that's very, very unusual and very unheard of. I love these things that you're doing that is just kind of taking this writing thing out off in a couple different markets. Very good.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love the way that you can take a story and, as a reader, determine where you want it to go and have a choice on how it ends. And there's so many ways that you could handle it. I'm hoping to do more. I've sent them another story, and I'm waiting to hear back. This one would be under my real name, so it'll be a little less on the heat level. But I'm crossing my fingers, hoping real hard. That's
awesome.
All I can. Yeah, it's more of a romantic, horror, suspense kind of thing. And I've also got a couple of feelers out with some young adult kids versions of that are like apps on iPad.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about Silkwords is that one of the founders helped to develop Xbox One.
Oh.
Yeah, very exciting.
Huh.
I didn't know that until after I was like, oh, wow.
Think about that. That makes you wonder if there could be potentially gaming series of these coming up. I mean, what a fascinating thought.
Yes, yes. And they had to buy the full rights to your work, you know, so they could take it in any direction that they wanted to, truly. And that would be just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of possibilities. Yeah.
That's very interesting. I love the idea.
Yeah,
I might have to check that out.
Yeah, it's Silkwords. Mm-hmm. And they have all sorts of stories with all different heat levels. They have lesbian. They have male-female. They've got historical. They've got, I think there's a steampunk one on there. All kinds of stuff. And they've got artists that basically do like a huge placard for the different stories. And they've actually changed mine, and they're working on finalizing what mine is going to be. So I'm actually waiting to see. I get 2 different ones since I've got a part 1 and a part 2.
Love it. Congratulations on that, girl. That is just absolutely incredible. I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very wonderful, and they're very exciting. And I hope they take the second one, because I really want to do it again.
My bet is, because they've taken this and split it and done what they've, you know, done with yours, I bet you they'll love your writing, and you'll I have a feeling you're going to become kind of a full-time person there.
I kind of hope so. There's a lot of really cool things happening. So I think my challenge is going to be time management and getting it all crammed in.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it, but there could be worse things happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's a great thing. I love being busy and writing so many different things. It's truly wonderful. And it challenges me all the time. And that's what I want.
Can you see yourself writing full-time and not being in the bookstore?
That is my dream, eventually, yes. I've been in retail a very, very long time. And I am happiest working on my stories, living in my own little head and focusing on that. I mean, it's good to be out and about, you know. But, you know, I really, really am ready to do that full-time if I can at least make what I'm making, you know, at the store. It may take me a few years to get there.
Sure.
But
Sadly, I don't think anyone who starts in this industry and thinks they're going to be working full-time doing this, unless lightning strikes, and it has, but it doesn't happen that often, you know, they're fooling themselves, you know. Most writers say you got to do it for the love of it. If you're lucky enough to get the big contracts, then you've worked hard to get there.
Yes, and it's kind of been a real struggle, you know, when I'm not at work, you know, because it's full-time, and trying to do this full-time also, I mean, my days off are much, much longer days, and I'm sure you have the same experience.
Oh, yeah.
Get up, you know, get the family organized, you're at the computer, and it's 7 a.m. to take a break for lunch for 20 minutes and watch TV. Oh, look, there's a TV. Wow, how awesome is that? Oh, we have Netflix? Really? What is Netflix? Oh, there's an Xbox. Hi, Xbox. I don't know what you are, but I'm glad that you're there. Okay, back to work now. Hi, husband. I love you. Hi, puppies. Go sit down. Stop flipping around. Go. Right. Dinner. Oh, yeah. I have to feed you, don't I? Okay. Oh, there's laundry. You want your underwear folded. Oh, crap. Okay. All right, let's work on that. You know, it's just a juggling act. But I can't imagine not doing it. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. And it's funny how you kind of look at this and you go, I have to do this. It's something that's in your blood. You think about it all the time. You want to do it. You're thinking new stories. You write them down. I mean, I think it's just incredible.
Yeah. And it's funny. I'm like, how many years did I not do this? And I always thought about doing it and didn't. And it's just wild. And I do have to mention, when I was first looking into this whole thing, there was a book, How to Write Erotica, by M. Christian. And I started reading that, and it led me to the IRWA site. And from there, the author resources was invaluable. And that is where I came up with the anthology calls. And that kind of led me on my path. I'm like, okay, I can try to do this. They give you a word count, they give you the subject that they want, they give you, you know, the pairings, male, female, or whatever. If, you know, they say any pairing or a certain type. And, yeah, you kind of go from there. And you learn how to try to stay within your word count. Sometimes I make it. Sometimes I have to cut. And there's so many different publishers there. You can kind of try your luck. And if it doesn't work, you save your work and you change it. And you tweak it and you send it out again.
True.
And you keep trying and you keep writing and, you know, sooner or later the rejection stops stinging quite as badly and you're like, okay, if there's a day goes by that I don't get at least one rejection, I'm kind of feeling lonely or my masochistic side hasn't been long enough or something. It's like, okay, you know, but it's like, all right, there's something to be learned from each rejection that you get. And I go back and I read it, you know, after the sting stops. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God they didn't let that go out there, you know.
True, and it is a learning experience. And for anyone who thinks that you don't learn or you don't need to learn, you got another thing coming.
Yeah, this doesn't just pop out of the air. You know, you have to grow as a writer. You know, I haven't, you know, been formally trained. I didn't finish college. I went part of the way through. So, I mean, sure, I would love to have been an English major or any of those things, but I'm not. I'm just a girl who works in the bookstore and loves to read and taking that love of reading all the time. You know, I guess it was only natural that this would happen.
Oh, I agree with you.
You have to take your experiences and just put them into your work. And if you don't know something, that's why the internet is there. Research. There's so much out there now that didn't used to be. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And I think we're so lucky, in a sense, as authors today, that we can do this sitting behind a computer, not a typewriter. We don't have to mail the big old bulky package off to whatever publisher we're trying to get published with. It's click, send.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Although I have seen still a few of those around, and it's like, are you kidding me? Oh, no. I'm not even going to bother with you.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I can't. Oh, no.
There's not enough something in the world to do that any longer. I don't know if it's time or effort.
No. Time, money for postage. No.
Yeah. All those.
No, definitely not. Yep. Kind of there. But.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what you've got. We know a couple things that you're doing, and I can't wait to. You'll have to make sure, and when you've got some of the Silk Words and all of this stuff coming out again, I want to have you back on and see how that's going. But what other projects are in the work for you?
Oh, wow. I mentioned Sigil Fire. That's the novella coming out in June. So I'm finalizing edits on that. I've already started on book two. And I kind of want to keep working in that direction. Book three is kind of niggling around in the back of my brain. I've got some Halloween anthologies that I'm working on getting some plotting together for. I still haven't nailed anything down firmly. Kind of like Jell-O wiggling around on the floor right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to be thinking about that. Soon. I'm researching right now the world of Ghost Sniffers for the kids' Choose Your Own Adventure. I've got a deadline coming up for that. So I've got to get about 10,000 words banged out by the 15th of April.
You can do it.
But I've got to get through. I'm sorry?
You can do it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I'm waiting to get the email today with the world of Club Rook. And my two new personas, and I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be awesome. You know, I have Shanti. She's an Indian woman, about 50, 51, and she kind of is a metaphysical fighter. And I've also got Heather, who is a redhead with lovely braids. She plays the harp, does a lot of club music, and she's a prostitute. So I get to have some fun action. Yes. So pretty much it's 1,500 words every 2 weeks, and like for each character, one per week. And I can kind of keep that spinning while I'm spinning the other plates in the air with the other one. And when Mariel Cove hits, she's looking still for writers for that. That one will be on the plate too. I really like that one. That's really cool. It's kind of like this little island off the coast of Washington. And it's like 90% women, and it's like a Peyton Place soap opera thing. And there's a serial every week, and drama, and everything. And you can buy the first season and the second season on Amazon right now. So I'm actually almost done reading the first season to kind of get what it is in my mind and all the people involved. So
I like that idea, too. I may have to check that out also. You never know.
Yeah. It's really fun, and I like that Jennifer has so many different projects, different types of things, and she's wanting well-rounded writers to be involved in it. So any writers out there, you need to check it out. What else? I am doing some horror projects. I have Scarlet Galleon is a new publisher I'm working with, and I just turned in a story called 19. It's a revenge story about a woman who gets just really sick of her husband having affairs on her, and she kills him.
Yeah,
she pretty much killed him and buries him. So
that
was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So the cover art is very inspirational, and I kind of want to write something about a cornfield, something scary in a cornfield. So I've kind of got some ideas going around in my head that I want to try to pen down today, since I actually don't have to work, and get that rolling. What else? Oh, I have a Grimm's fairy tale story that's due in June, based on the story called The Beam. And this would be an erotic fairy tale. I have a story started that I think would fit the mold, but I have to nail it down again. It's still in the planning stages, and I really have to hurry because I'm running out of time.
Yeah, but given what I've already heard about you, I have the distinct feeling that you don't mind pressure. You kind of eat it for breakfast kind of girl, and you do what you say you're going to do when you need to.
Oh, yeah. It's in there with the Cheerios, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, I'm in the chair. I got my gallon of coffee and my Lindt truffles, and I'm rocking it.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my scary desk with the mountains of books and my little pops, my little witch pop collection staring at me. Come on, do it. You can do it.
Whatever it takes to get the job done.
Yes, yes. And I do owe Miss Gina a witch story, so I have got to get off my broom and get that written. Oh, she's going to flog me with it.
Gina has been known to flog people with a lot of different things, so I wouldn't test her anymore.
No. Yes, for those of you who don't know, I write the Erotic Pagan series. They're Naughty Nights, and I have three short fiction pieces out. And right now I'm searching for a new holiday to work on. So got to get that in the works, but I've been kind of juggling all those plates, so I kind of let that slip just a little bit, and I better pick it up soon. Ooh, goodness.
For those of you who in our listening land don't know, this is actually how I met this lovely lady. She and I both work with Naughty Nights Press, so I've seen some of your fantastic works there and the covers and things, and it's beautiful. So love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I was really fortunate to meet Gina. We met kind of in passing, I believe it was on Facebook, through kind of an editing thing, and I sent in a story to her that had actually been rejected from another anthology, and I was still in the, this smart stage. I know I love this story, and I know it's good someplace. It was just finding the right home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult sometimes to find a place for pagan-themed work. A lot of people, again, with the misunderstandings, they don't see the beauty in it. And Gina did. And, you know, I'm forever grateful because it's been a wonderful, wonderful ride on that broomstick, and I love it.
And that's the nice thing, I think, about just my personal plug on Naughty Nights is they tend to take it a little bit out on, using the, no pun intended, the edge. And allowing you to do some things that are just a little bit different. You know, I've got a few of those with her as well, and it's been, it's like you say, an interesting ride in a completely different fashion. So my pieces are a little bit darker, a little bit more cutting and biting, I suppose, than some of the other.
But that's good because it's a different, that's what I've kind of learned with different publishers. You have to find where things belong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just blindly send things out. You have to find a fit. And that's half of the art of it, I think. And just branching out and talking with people and meeting people and saying, hey, you know, and them taking a chance on you, you know. She was one
Absolutely.
Of the first that did, and it's just wonderful.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. With so much negative press about lots of different folks for all the wrong, sometimes wrong reasons. That's nice to hear that you've had such a positive experience. I can't say anything bad about the lady either. She has been a great supporter of mine, and we'll have more works coming out with her as well. So it's a joyous time.
It really is, and I need to try to get her something some longer fiction. Now that I'm feeling more comfortable doing that, most of my work with her has been about 4,000, 6,000 words in that range. So they're really short little witchy snacks, you know. But again, I want to get her something bigger. I promised.
Good for you.
So I've got to do it. Must do that.
Yeah, you do. No, seriously, she has a long whip. Trust me, I know these things.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Well, we are actually running low on time, and I want to make sure that all of the folks know exactly where to find you, and including all where all your books are sold, your different sites and all of that. So where can we find you?
All right. Well, I'm on Amazon, and I'm on ARE. A few of my titles are on Barnes & Noble. I'm also on, I'm on the Apple Store, especially with the new Goddess Anthology. Again, everybody, that's free. So please make sure you grab a copy. It's actually a box set with several writers, some awesome stuff. The focus is spring and renewal, and that was a whole lot of fun to write. Where else? Create Space. There's some things on there, and Smash Words. So I'm pretty much all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. What about your different sites and things? And if you want to leave the other author off the table, that's fine. If you want to add her, you certainly can.
Oh, sure. You can find me on Twitter at Ursabeth Bishop. You can find me on, for my other name, under Dana19018 for the young adults and the horror. And for the websites, UrzabethBishop at WordPress.com, Lesfic and Lipstick, WordPress.com, and Dana Wright Wordscribe at WordPress.com. I also do a lot of book reviews, and I host authors on my sites all the time. So if you want to give me a shout via Twitter or email for the erotica, it's UrzabethWright@gmail.com. For young adult and horror, it's Dana19018@gmail.com.
Fantastic. You do. You're all over the place just like I am, and it's good and it's bad and it's all those things, but you got to do it.
Yeah, it's good. It keeps you well-rounded, and you connect with so many people, and, you know, you make a difference. I love to write for charity in all those places, and if it helps the person, helps people, then that's what it's about.
That's fantastic. And I agree with you completely. Well, any last words of wisdom, dear lady?
Just if you're a writer, keep writing. Write every day. You can make it happen. You just have to make it happen.
That's true. I agree with you completely. It's been wonderful having you and getting to know you. I hope you won't be a stranger.
Same here. Thank you for having me on.
We'll love to have you back, and we'll let you go to this hopefully wonderful afternoon. Still raining here. I hope you don't get yours, but you never know nowadays with the weather.
Oh, I hear the wind chimes going. I think we're due for it.
Well, thank you much, lady. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we will definitely have you back on.
You too. Stay safe in that storm.
Don't you worry. We will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And for all of you in Radio Land, you've been on With the Edge with Cassandra Dane and our guest today, and we have some exciting shows coming up. Just keep in mind they're on every other Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're on the World of Ink Network. Big thanks to these folks who certainly support me. And we've got coming up on April 6th, Sherita Lira, and actually April 20th, all the way from lovely England, Phoenix Johnson. So we've got a whole lineup scheduled into the summer, but if you're an author and you'd love to be on, or a musician, painter, whatever, I love folks who don't mind talking a little bit edgy talk. So thanks so much. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you soon.